these invisible forces. Hey, this is Double Space with Kat and Tintin. And we're going to talk about space, society, and what it means to be walking around on this Earth the way we do. We are broadcasting on the unceded Musqueam territory of the Coast Salish people.
Hi.
Hey.
It's Double Space.
With Kat.
And Tintin.
And we're here to talk about space. And today we're going to talk about representations of our space, particularly moving representations.
Nice. Yeah. We're here to talk about film and how that manifests itself and reflects, I don't know, our environments and social, cultural things that have to do with it.
Yeah.
And stay tuned on Double Space.
Well, we can just cut to a song. Oh my god, okay.
Let's just cut.
Put on Solange.
It's fine.
Don't touch my hair. It's the feelings I wear. Don't touch my soul. When it's the rhythm I know. Don't touch my crown. They say the vision I've found. Don't touch what's there. It's the feelings I wear. They don't understand what it means to me. Where we chose to go, where we meant to go. They don't understand what it means to me. Where we chose to go.
Records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca. Hey,
And we're back, and you're listening to Double Space on CATR 101.9 FM, and we're talking about films and the importance and significance that films have on our lives.
I think we should start off by just giving a lowdown on some of the movies that we've seen in our recent past.
Well, I can go first. Actually, last night, I rewatched the movie Trainspotting.
So good.
Really good. Really gross.
It wasn't your first time watching it, was it?
No, it wasn't my first time.
Yeah.
But I, on like a second watch, it was so good. Like the first time I watched it, I was just very like stunned by the graphic depictions of like gore and drug use and everything under the sun. But I still liked it that time, but I really liked it the second time and like following the plot.
Yeah. No, I think I watched it too early on in my life. I think I watched it when I was like 15 for the first time.
Oh my God.
Or something, and I was just like traumatized, which I think is fair, but I don't think I got like the full message or like the full story from it. I think I was just blinded by like the gratuitous like drug use and like just gross. There's like that one scene where he's in like the bathroom. Like, I absolutely hate that one.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. The person I was watching it with really doesn't like needles or blood or really anything like gross, so he would cover his eyes every time something happened.
Very sweet.
It really made me aware of the grossness that happens in the movie, and like it just cuts out a big significant chunk of the movie, but you can still appreciate it even without the gross and scary and grimy scenes.
That's fair.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. I watched the Lady Gaga documentary, and that's the most recent film that I've watched. I am a huge stan for Lady Gaga. Very important person. Very good person.
Very good.
It was a pretty interesting documentary just because, like, it talked about, like, the chronic pain and, like, life on, like, the road, but it was, like, not super cheesy. It was actually, like, how she made, like, the most recent album that she wrote, like, Joanne. And it's kind of just cool to see, like, the process in which, like, that takes and, like, how, like, oh my God, like, celebrities are real people, too. Like, they get nervous and, like, stuff like that. I don't know.
I talked to my brother before coming here, and I was like, David, we're going to be talking about films. And I was like, what should I say? And he was like, did you know stars have their own trailers when they're on set? So they're not like us.
They, my God, David is so right.
He's so right. They're not like us.
No, stars are...
Don't be fooled.
Stars are like us in the most, like, basic, like, sense where they, like, have the same, like, primal needs that we do.
Like, they're just higher up on the self-actualization pyramid, but it's the same plot.
It's like the Maslow's, like, pyramid, yeah. But then, like, on top of the top that, like, you can get to, which is, like, self-actualization, there's, like, another level, which is, like, superstardom, and like none of us, or I shouldn't say none of us will ever get there, but I think
we've already reached it.
Hell yeah.
So
in the process of
all you other people,
the rest
listeners.
But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good documentary in general. I just feel like it speaks less to the actual film, more so to the fact that I just really think that she's a cool person.
She is. Yeah, I recently watched Inglourious Basterds.
Oh. Actually, it's funny. Me and my mom watched it about 2 weeks ago, too.
That's so funny. We didn't plan it, folks.
Coincidental. Yeah, my mom really didn't like it.
What did she think of it?
She thought it was way too violent. And she didn't like that they, like, set the thing... Spoiler. They, like, set the theater on fire. She was like, that was very... Like, that's the whole plot of the movie, basically. And she was like, that was just really unnecessary. Like, if they wanted to get rid of, you know, Hitler, they could have just killed one and they'd have to kill all of them. And I was like, okay, well, this is revisionist history.
Yeah.
Come on.
Really wasn't, didn't sound like the general theme was in your mom's alley.
No, I think she wasn't ready to watch that kind of movie that night either. Because I was over at my parents' house and I was told to pick a movie because my mom just wanted to watch a movie.
You chose Inglourious Basterds.
Well, because I was thinking that it would be a good opportunity for me to listen to some German because I'm taking German in school. And I was like, oh, like, two birds, one stone, Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so whatever. But yeah, I honestly, I've seen that movie a few times before, and I actually do quite like it, and I feel like very, like, I shouldn't like it.
You're allowed to like it.
I'm allowed to like, okay, yeah, everyone's allowed to like things that they like. Okay, great. but I always feel like kind of gross about it because like there's so much violence and like a lot of it is like gratuitous and it seems quite unnecessary. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, definitely rehashing the violence, the unnecessary violence aspect of it. And I hate to be like, oh my God, like I hate the violence. Like it makes me feel like such a baby, but at the same time, like it's incredibly unnecessary and it kind of put me off. And also the way the women were portrayed in the movie, I was so hung up by it because Shoshana was such a great character, except her death was such a bummer.
Yeah.
It was such a bummer. She could have died so nobly, just like following her plan, but her beautiful death is like stolen from her by this petty man.
The pettiest man.
The pettiest of men. Just, ugh.
Yeah. Gross. And then the other female character, forget her name, the one who played the really famous actress.
The actress.
Yeah, she also had a very untimely, unpleasant to look at death.
The way that it's shot is very, like, it's almost like face on, it's as if you're the one doing the violence to her, which is so off-putting.
It definitely doesn't put a good taste in my mouth.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. You know, the two main women characters are the ones that get violence to them. And, like, you look at the main bastards or whatever. I think some of them die, but whatever.
Well, like, I forget his name. Brad Pitt's character, like, Brad Pitt's character, like, stays alive and he's, like, all good in the end.
Yeah.
Even the, like, guy who, Christoph Waltz's character, like, doesn't even die in the end, even though he's, like,
he's the worst character and he doesn't die and the women do.
And yeah, come on. I mean, there's some kind of injustice there, I'm sure.
Something inglorious about it for sure. Oh, and that's for sure.
My God. But yeah, and so other things that have happened recently in the world of film is the Vancouver International Film Festival just finished, I believe, on the 13th of October.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we both got opportunities to see movies at VIFF. I saw two movies on the day that I got like the pass from CITR. I got to see a movie called The Bolshoi and Burma Storybook. The first one was about Russian ballerinas and like the process that it takes to become a ballerina. It wasn't like a nonfiction. It was definitely like a work of fiction. It was really long. Could have been cut down a bit. I think it would have not harmed the story, but it was pretty good. It's nice to see, like, just how film is interpreted in, like, different countries. So, like, that Russian movie was, like, really, like, ornamented. Like, there was so much, like, pride and, like, it was just really, like, decorated. Like, it was very indulgent, I would say. And then I saw another movie called The Burma Storybook that I said earlier. And that one was about poetry in Burma and, like, the ways in which people use storytelling and poetry to perpetuate, like, the culture. And it seems like it's a really, like, the stories that are told don't really seem like they would line up, but in the end they all, like, kind of come together. And it's very interesting to, like, see how, you know, literature and poetry has such a universal, like, trait quality to it.
Aww.
So, yeah, it's very nice. And I cried in it. It's so sad. Yeah, I also, like, cry in, like, absolutely every single movie. That's a fun fact about me.
For me, it has to be a very specific kind of movie. I have to be, like, led to it properly.
Oh, led to the brink of tears?
Led to the brink of tears. It has to be, like, just on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, what were the movies that you saw at VIFF?
I saw Eye on Juliet, which was fantastic. It was this movie about this man in Detroit who basically like controls these little spider-looking robots that almost are like drones that are protecting a pipeline in Saudi Arabia.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, that's real, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I'd imagine it would be, but it's kind of that idea of like surveillance from a distance. And so that already is, like, interesting, you know? But then, while he's patrolling, he sees this woman, Ayesha, who he, like, keeps seeing regularly. 'Cause that's her meetup point to meet her boyfriend. And by listening into their conversations, he learns that she's trying to escape. But basically, it ends up that the guy in Detroit tries to help her escape. Which is, like, totally against, like, his job. It's illegal. He's not supposed to do it. But he does it anyway. and it's so good. Mm. It's so good. I really wanted to see, what is it? Like the Florida Project?
Oh, yeah. The one that was directed by the same person who directed Tangerine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was originally going to see, but it was filming very far, or it was showing very far away from the other movies I saw, so I couldn't see it. But I also watched two other movies that were not quite as good as I Am Juliet.
Lackluster, so to speak.
Lackluster. The first one we saw was Entanglement, which featured Thomas Middleditch of Silicon Valley, who's so funny. He's perfect in Silicon Valley.
But in this role,
oh,
not so good.
In this role, oh, God. Like, it just wasn't as... I just kept seeing him. Mm. Like, he's just so funny. He tried, and I, like, wished the best for him, but it just wasn't good.
I feel like it often happens that people who are, like, in comedic roles, generally speaking, or, like, start off their careers in, like, comedy, and when they try to, like, crack into, like, dramatic acting, it's quite hard.
Yeah, I think it's because, like, people associate your entire personality with comedy. So it's, like, all the little, like, twitches that, like, Thomas Middleditch does and all the tiny little fidgets. They seem comedic because that's, you know, the entrance point for people in getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, he did a, like, good enough performance, but it wasn't striking.
That reminds me of, like, you know how Jim Carrey moved from, like, comedic acting to dramatic one in, like, The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind or whatever? I think that was a really good, example.
That was pretty good.
Did you still think that he was kind of, like... Do you not think it was a good performance?
It was... There were some moments that were just, like, too much.
Oh, I see.
I think he went a little overboard, but I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I'm mainly thinking Bill Murray in Wes Anderson movies.
Oh,
that
also...
That was a really good transition for me.
Also true.
But, I mean, Thomas Middleditch did all right. Mainly, it was... The whole story itself was really troubling to me. It was about this guy who... I guess, spoiler alert, if you care about this, like, small indie movie that isn't even really that indie and isn't good. So...
Oh, my God. Put him on blast, why don't you? My God.
I mean, basically, he has, like, schizophrenia and he stops taking his medication or something. I don't know. I thought he was taking a smaller dose or I don't know what was going on. That was very unclear, which I didn't appreciate. But... He has this, like, vision of, like, a girl, and he thinks he's dating this girl, but she's just an apparition. That's it. That's the movie. Already it's othering people with schizophrenia. Like, oh, isn't it a great, like, plot twist? It's, like, a great crutch for a crazy story. Like, it just felt like one guy pitched a movie, and the director was like, nah, and then he was like, wait, I got one more.
And he's...
Get this.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to want to sit down. He's mentally ill.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a twist?
Awful. Well, it just seems like a really lazy way to, like...
It's so lazy.
...bridge the story. It's like, wow, okay.
On top of being lazy, it's also, like, again, using people with an illness for a crutch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. I was... really disappointed. Also, the rest of the actors in it, like, Thomas Middleditch was, like, okay, but all the other actors were horrible. So bad and excruciating, and I didn't like watching them. James liked it. He enjoyed the movie.
Putting this movie on blast.
While I was watching it, I was, like, balled up fists. Like, I just hated the lead girl. I don't want to go on for this for too long, but... There's really a lot I could say.
Yeah, that's fair. But,
I mean, it's not going to be for everyone.
Anyway. Well, I got that from that. But yeah, anyway.
I also watched another one called Sweet Virginia. It was just, like, guns in the Midwest and some guys hit man and drama and just not that great. But Eye on Juliet was great. You should see it. It made it worth it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back on Double Space after a few ads and PSAs. Stay tuned.
And here is Jabbar by Me'enz, who was recently on CITR's Shindig.
God, this is awful. Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody Dance.
CITR student executive and fashion expert, Jonathan Q, what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because, of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
And welcome back to Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM. Today, Kat and I have been talking about films. And we're going to get on to the next topic, which is something important to me, diversity and representation in film.
I would like to add that it's also important to me.
Okay, sorry, but okay, fair. It's important to the both of us.
Important to society.
Important to the world. So yeah, when I think about representation and diversity in film and like recently movies that have been really killing it, I think one that's been talked about a lot is Moonlight, which won the Oscar for Best Film last year. Not that like Oscars really in like matter. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just a reflection of white men's opinions.
Yeah, and like,
let's be honest.
Yeah, the general attitude of the Academy, but the Academy is comprised of, well, the demographics are not necessarily the most diverse.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. But Moonlight was really great. I have seen it actually in theaters 3 times, and I saw it like at home twice. So I've seen it quite a few times.
It's so beautiful.
But I feel like every single time I watch it, I have something really, like I like something different about it. And I also cried three times in the movie theater.
I bawled.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad that someone else cried.
For sure.
Because the first time I saw it with my friend who I didn't know very well at the time. Like,
oh my God.
It was like the first time we like really hung out, and I was like, hey, like, want to see this like cool movie with me? And then like literally started crying like maybe 20 minutes in, and she was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah, I saw it with someone that was like kind of unemotive.
Mm.
But I was just like I hope they don't notice me like wiping my many tears away.
Yeah, my several tears.
Several tears.
Yeah. So that was Moonlight for me. And also I just think it's like a really important thing to represent different kinds of versions, I guess, of masculinity that can be, you know, taken into the real world, or just like different types of masculinities that do exist, because by definition it's a very broad thing. But yeah, so that's one of my favorite movies that have good, I don't know, just like queer POC representation.
Just like beautiful.
And also and also like it doesn't compromise the story.
Exactly.
And it doesn't compromise the cinematography.
Whatever like rubric you use to like decide that like Alfred Hitchcock was like a great director.
Yeah, exactly.
It would show that Moonlight is a great movie.
Exactly. I'm really excited for more movies like that to come out in Hollywood. I think that over the past year, there has been a few more movies that I've been aware of that have more people of color like directing and acting in them. Another one that comes to mind is Fences or The Birth of a Nation that came out last year.
Oh, I haven't seen either, but yeah, that makes me excited because more movies I get to see.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that those are important stories to tell.
Yeah, honestly, this episode is just going to be us like talking about movies we like and spoiling movies that we either like or don't like.
Exactly.
Everything's getting spoiled.
Perfect. Yeah. So that's my hot pick. What about you, Kat?
I love Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Just like every single time I like put on a Spike Lee movie, I'm entertained. And I enjoy it, and I love the story and the way things are filmed. And just, again, another case of, like, even if you use the same rubric to, like, Alfred Hitchcock, like, Spike Lee does it. Like, yeah. Spike Lee holds up, you know?
With flying colors.
With flying colors. Exactly. I also really liked Get Out. You mm-hmm. still haven't seen Get Out, which...
No, I haven't.
Baffles me.
I know. It baffles me, too, because I've made plans with two different people to see it, and then, like, I don't know, I either flake or they flake, and I'm a fake friend.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I see. Usually don't, but I think, yeah. Now it's probably out in your way. Yeah, now it's out to DVD or something, possibly. It's definitely out of theaters.
You should just watch it by yourself.
Yeah.
You just need to, like, have watched it.
Okay, I will.
That's really, yeah. It's so good.
It's a commentary on, like, race, right?
Yeah. I expected it to be funnier, but I still totally, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was really, really good.
Good to know.
Jordan Peele did amazing.
Good to know.
Just, oh, kudos. And the soundtrack was just amazing. And, oh, so good.
Another one that we both really like is Tangerine.
Yes, yes, yes.
I, like, really appreciate that. Well, first of all, that it was shot on an iPhone 5, that's quite innovative. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's just, like, a story that I think has... I don't know if it's ever really been told on, like, such a large format. I don't know.
It's funny because, like, the main plot points are so common and relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, like, this person... wants this other person, but this other person wants a different person, and oh my God, this guy has like a family, like where did that come from? And just like the different perspectives interacting with each other, but like actually using that like enjoyable storyline on like a different perspective was, I mean, I think new.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, the people who were represented in the film were, like, transgender people. They were actually transgender women. Like,
What a concept.
Wow. Jared Leto.
We're coming for you.
We're coming for you, Jared Leto. Yeah, what a terrible choice and...
awful man.
Yeah, what a terrible choice.
Simply an awful man.
Yeah. Anyway.
don't worry about Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Tangerine was a great movie.
Yeah, but then...
You should watch it.
You, oh, yes, okay.
Tenjin was like, me?
I have seen it. But yeah, movies that I feel like are a little bit more poor in representation tend to lean on, I don't know, like, stuff very kitschy and, like, Wes Anderson-y comes to mind.
Mainly Wes Anderson. Here we go. Everyone's favorite is going on roast.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I do like... Like, I really like The Royal Tenenbaums, or, like, I really like, you know, The Moonrise Kingdom and stuff, but I think that my liking those movies speaks more to the fact that I just like, the style in which he films in. It has less to do with the actual story or, like, the portrayal of the characters. Mm-hmm. I wish that he would make more movies with people of color with, like, diverse backgrounds or, like, just not... you know, white people, but I mean, what can I do? It's like, what can I say? Yeah. What can I say?
I mean, when I was younger, I loved Wes Anderson, but now that I'm kind of older, it's easier to be critical of him, and, like, just the lack of diversity. I don't know, it just seems like it's a very, like, he's a very, like, very particular director,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, he's trying to create, like, almost like a perfect world. And in that perfect world, it's like there's no people of color.
True. And that is a choice.
That's a choice. That was a decision.
Yeah.
So I don't... That doesn't sit well with... yeah. But just get on it, Wes Anderson. Come on.
Yeah, he's got such a crazy, like, pull in, like, the movie industry and, like, the kind of culture. I think it would be a really, really substantial thing if he did cast more people of color in his films. I mean, like, in the Grand Budapest Hotel, the main character, Zero, was a person of color, but he had, like, the position of being, like, a bellboy, and, like, he came from, like, this war-torn, like, impoverished country. It was just, like, you tried, I guess.
And I guess to, like, expand on that, it's like when people of color are shown in film, it's like they're put in, like, they're impoverished and they're, like,
mm-hmm.
serving as, like, a bellboy. It's like, why can't they be the, like, dad in the Royal Tenenbaums just kicking back,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Totally.
That's our main critique, mm-hmm. is, like, why can't you just put people of color in your film and just let them relax?
Yeah, why do they have, like, some crazy story?
I've had to, like, beat a lot of trauma and, like, just let them live.
Yeah, they overcome different kinds of adversity, but not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily have, like, to be, like, so specific and stereotypical.
Yeah. Think out of the box a little.
Yeah.
Another interesting aspect, which I only found when we were researching, is the amount of, perfectly able bodies. And the, I guess, limited amount of differently abled bodies,
mm-hmm.
in films. The only person that I can think of that is differently abled and portrays the same... But, like, okay. So, like, Breaking Bad is a TV show, obviously, but the son of Walter has cerebral palsy, and the actor that plays him actually has cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Which is, like, yes, good. Mm-hmm. That's how it should be.
Yeah, and it speaks more to the fact that, like, representation of people with different abilities needs to come from people who have the different, like, have lived that experience.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of a callback also to, like, trans women playing trans. There's so many, like, trans actresses. It's just not fair. And, like, there's so many differently abled actors and actresses. It's like, why are you outsourcing,
mm-hmm.
to someone who hasn't experienced that?
Totally. And it's almost like when that stuff happens, like, when people who aren't, like, you know, people of color that play people of color or something like that, it becomes a bit, like, it becomes a little bit more, like, grotesque to me, just because it seems, like, a little fetishizey, because it's like, oh, like, I want this in my story. I know nothing about it, but I think based on my outsider knowledge, like, this would really help the movie, You know, mm-hmm. it, like, calls to mind, like, the Ghost in the Shell stuff and, like, all of that. And it's, yeah, it just, like, that whole movie, too, just, like, oozed of, like, steampunk, like, Japanese, like, cyber Tokyo, like, fetishization of, like, in Western culture. And, like, there's just no, there was no, like, thought put into it. Yeah.
For backstory.
Oh, yeah.
On
Sorry.
The Shell. I completely agree, but it's easy to, like, get...
carried away.
Get it carried away.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, like, Japanese anime of this woman who's, like, a, like, cyborg sort of, or just a robot, just a plain robot. But it's just, like, really gripping and, like, speaks to the dialogue of, like, what is a soul?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who own, like, are they tangible things? And it's set in the future, and it's, like, cool and badass, of course. And Hollywood was like, you know what would be a great idea? To make a live-action movie of this. Okay, first off.
It's going to be set in Japan, but the main character is not going to be Japanese anymore. She's going to be Scarlett Johansson.
But I just, like, that's the big kicker. But, like, why do you have to make live-action anime?
That's true. Why does anyone have to, like, take a good thing and ruin it?
Why do you could just not and just let it be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's too hard. But yeah. The biggest controversy with it is that Scarlett Johansson, a white woman, playing the lead character. It's like, why did you have to do that?
Yeah.
Why did you have to fuck up on so many levels? And there was so much backlash.
Yeah.
There was so much backlash, and they still did it.
I think part of it speaks to the fact that, like, they wouldn't release it in an animated form in North America because they think that, like, adults don't think that animated films are, like, a legitimate means of, like, film or something. And I think that's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about our favorite animated movies that are not for children?
Not for children.
Not for kids. Send your kids out of here.
Yeah, take them to bed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. I have a lot of favorite animated films. I am a big nerd idiot. I really love, like, Japanese animated films, and I, like, realize...
You're a weeb.
I'm a weeb, yeah. But
a weeaboo.
Okay, let me explain myself before you call me that. I grew up with them for the most part because, like, I immigrated from China, and, like, a lot of the content and, like, culture does... overlap. So, like, I watched a lot of, like, Japanese movies when I was a kid, or, like, Japanese animes. One of them being, like, Cardcaptor Sakura. I watched when I was, like, 5 years old, I remember. So it's just, like, a thing that I always grew up with. But anyway, so Japanese movies that I like today that are animated, my favorite ones are Perfect Blue, and I think Kat, you recently watched it, right?
Perfect Blue, yeah.
Yeah. So that's made by the same studio that does, like, Paprika, directed by the same dude, Satoshi Kon, and I just love Perfect Blue. Like, Black Swan is based off of Perfect Blue, and, like, as someone who just recently watched it, like, you can see, like, the parallels. Or no, you've never watched...
I've never seen...
You've never watched Black Swan. Okay.
I need to get on it.
But. Essentially, I think the director of Black Swan, like, Darren Aronofsky, he, I think, admitted to taking some of the aspects, and, like, some of the shots are, like, directly the exact same. Like, there's one where she's in Perfect Blue where the main character is on a train and she sees, like, her reflection move on the train, like, in the mirror, and then the exact same shot happens in Black Swan.
Perfect Blue is so sad.
It is so sad. It I think it's a big story about hubris and much of, like, the tragedy that comes with, like, fame and stuff like that.
Interesting that you say that, because I really got that, like, I don't know, like, this poor girl, she's just trying to, like, get by, and, like, I don't, just so many, just, like, so much misogyny is the way that I read it.
Yeah.
Just so much misogyny, because she's so, like, fetishized when she's in the girl group,
mm-hmm.
of just, like, oh my god, like, perfect, and, like, this weird, crazy guy is, like, you should have never, like...
left the
but
girl
I guess,
group. Yeah.
Did he even exist?
Well, that's the whole... It's like a psychological thriller.
It is. It's... Oh, God. It's so good. Yeah. Just, like, truly a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the best animated films I've ever seen.
It'll break your heart.
Yeah. It's also, like, quite gory.
It'll sever your heart, and it'll leave you vomiting.
Yeah, and you'll be bleeding out.
You'll be bleeding, vomiting.
Okay.
You'll be broken everywhere.
All right.
How are you?
And I guess, like, also Studio Ghibli, besides the fact that it is, like, a children's studio or, like, film studio, I guess, technically.
Technically, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah, in practice, not so much. I think that, Princess Mononoke is my favorite movie, possibly of all time. It's a great movie. Talks about, you know, the relationship that humans have to the environment and, like, nature and the mm-hmm. clash and, like, the tension that comes from, you know, human exploitation and, like, resource extraction. Like, it's a very, like, heavy topic, but it's easily, like... Also, something that's beautiful about animated films is it can be interpreted for children. So, like, I remember watching that when I was, like, 11 and understanding the story because it was in a more accessible way for, like, kids, too. So it turns kids on to, like, really interesting topics and, like, very important things at very young ages.
I love talking about, like, children's media because it's often so deep and so complex and tackles these really difficult things, and nobody gives it any credit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really like Howl's Moving Castle. But
oh, yeah.
I'm just dropping that. Like, just, by the way, I love that.
Yeah, it's so cute.
It's so good. But I also really like Yellow Submarine. That's an animated film, which is not Japanese, which... I know Tintin isn't into.
No, I've never actually seen it. That's why. I've never seen it before.
It's so good. You should watch it. Maybe I'll show you the trailer.
Oh, right now? Live action reaction?
Live action reaction. Okay. Oh,
this is a segment we'd like to call live action reaction. It's starting
on Double Space
now. So what's the premise of Yellow Submarine? Is it just like...
It's just the album. But they're like... There's some war... And they're, like, stopping it or whatever.
There's a war and they're stopping it.
Okay. With music, maybe? I don't know. But the animation is just, like, gorgeous.
Okay. This is my live-action reaction.
Okay,
to...
we'll put it on the... With tangerine trees
and marmalade... Had bad guys.
Is that us?
Oh.
Your blueness?
That's better.
What? Oh my goodness. Oh! Wow. Oh, so the Beatles are gonna save... Oh no, they're trapped.
Freaking out.
Wow, alright. John. John Lennon, that is.
Just slowly going through all the names.
George. We got one more. Ringo.
Just, like, the animation is so cool.
This is a really interesting style of animation.
It's hand-painted.
Oh, it's hand-painted. Wait,
they
this is cell drawn?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is cell drawn. This is from, like, the 70s.
That's crazy. This must have taken so much time.
So much time. And look how beautiful it is. Look at those colors.
But I need to know, do the Beatles save the day?
Oh, you better believe. You better believe it. Alright. So, that was the... What was it? Live action reaction?
Of the Yellow Submarine trailer? I don't know. I'm going to say that seems like a very interesting film, and I would be definitely interested to see it in the future.
Nice. That's the kind of reaction I was looking for.
Hell yeah. But, I mean, this is going to be... After speaking about these lovely topics regarding animated films that we do indeed love, I think that must always call into question the topic of trash people that we hate.
And we'll talk about that after a quick break.
On Double Space.
Yeah, way to leave you on that cliffhanger.
CITR 101.9 FM.
And this is Holy Hum with All of My Bodies.
All of them.
All of them.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to Devil's Face on CHR 101.9 FM. And we will be talking about directors that we hate, that are garbage and abusive and trash.
Yep.
Just diving right into it. I feel like that is so essential to film as a medium. There's like this weird discrepancy of like, there's randomly so many just horrible men. And I mean, maybe
I don't think it's random.
Maybe it's definitely not random, but maybe it's just more noticeable. Maybe it's more public than like, I guess, companies and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's just, yeah. But anyway, it's like a mentionable amount of horrible people. I mean, definitely the tip of everyone's tongue right now is Harvey Weinstein. I think Weinstein.
Yeah. I think that that kind of thing just speaks to like the amount of the power imbalances that are prevalent in like society that get manifested in like small, like concentrated groups like Hollywood. And it tends to be a lot more pronounced just because like it's so public. Yeah, for one. And like people who have been victims of like sexual assault by these, you know, gross, powerful people are people that like we've seen in like movies and stuff. So like we have like a face and like, you know, to some extent, like, we feel like we might know them because of, like, their performances and stuff.
I feel like it's also, like, because film is, like, within the arts, there's a lot of, like, parties and stuff that isn't necessarily the same as, like, in other industries.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Regardless, there are many...
It's not okay.
there are many reasons to not do that. And there's also innumerable garbage... powerful directors.
Yeah, just like truly garbage.
Yeah. Again, I feel like this is just a public shaming at this point.
Yeah. It is.
Okay.
Here we go. Settle in.
But yeah, like it just calls into question also like, can you appreciate the art if they if it comes from like a bad person, I guess, so to speak.
That is such a tricky question.
Mm-hmm.
The way I've justified it is films take so many people to make.
Mm-hmm.
They are, like, I think it's so misleading to say, like, oh, it's, like, I don't know, Woody Allen's film. It's, like, maybe he wrote it. I don't know who wrote it, but somebody did the cinematography. Somebody chose the costume design. Somebody did the set design. He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many people that are also helping on a film that it's not just the person's work.
Yeah, and it's people who continue to work on those, it almost feels like they're being complicit. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Well, mainly just, I think a film can be separated from its director.
Oh, so you think it can be. Okay,
I think it can be, but I mean, with small doses, I think that when people do something that's like too autobiographical, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know a good example of someone doing, like, something autobiographical that is also horrible, but I also don't really keep up with horrible, directors.
Yeah, I guess that is definitely an issue that I have, too, because, like, when we were talking about Quentin Tarantino, for example, like, I definitely recognize some of his, like, story shortcomings and, like, how there is such gratuitous violence and how that perpetuates, like, the rape culture that we see in the media constantly. But yet, I still think that, you know, like, Inglourious Basterds is, like, a good movie, even though, like, I realize that there's so many problems with it. And I think the same could be said for, like, Stanley Kubrick films, too. Like, I love, like, The Shining. I love Lolita. I love, like, 2001 Space Odyssey. Like, it's hard. I don't know how to, like, reconcile those two feelings.
I mean, I don't know. It's really hard. I mean, and Stanley Kubrick, for those who don't know, was just a really abusive director. He would often yell at Shelley Duvall in the making of The Shining, but it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I really love a lot of Roman Polanski films, which I'm, like, not proud to say.
Yeah.
I think the key is if you're talking about a film you really like by a problematic director, just to recognize that they're problematic. Just to say, like, I know that Roman Polanski should be put in jail and deserves no fame, no money, no recognition. He's a garbage person who did a lot of really terrible things and deserves nothing.
Mm-hmm.
However, certain films that he was involved in, I enjoy.
Yeah. And it is really important to acknowledge that there are shortcomings to certain directors and like certain creators, but I guess like part of it is just like I don't want to inadvertently like support their work by like viewing it either and in that way too. Yeah, but I mean, I can proudly say I've never seen a Woody Allen movie in theaters. So it's always been like on some kind of like either from the library DVD or from like online sketchy resources. Yeah. So
yeah. I don't know. It's sad. Also Lars von Trier. We pretty much talked about the main people we had on our list. Alfred Hitchcock also sucks, but who cares?
Oh my god. Whoop, anyway. There it is.
Is he still around? He's rolling in his grave.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah.
Good riddance. He also like emotionally abused his actresses.
All for method acting.
Method acting. But anyway, before we get too into it, Lars von Trier, recently found to be just like a horrible person. He messed with Bjork, so he's messing with me. He's gonna feel my wrath, my pain.
He will be served in court.
Yeah,
by Kat.
Yeah, just wait till my lawyers hear about this. Is all I can say. But he tried to blame Bjork as being like difficult, and according to Bjork's narrative, which I fully, completely believe, blindly.
Always believe survivors also.
Yeah. Just listen to women, please. He said that Bjork was difficult. And Bjork was like, you're literally like, you were groping me.
Mm.
And she was so stressed, she ate her dress on the set of Dancer in the Dark.
Whoa, what? She ate her dress?
Yeah, that's how her like stress and trauma manifested.
How? Sorry, how did she eat her dress? Was she wearing, like, an edible dress? Or?
I don't think it was edible, but you know that when people, like, sometimes when they're really stressed, they, like, eat their hair? Similar to that.
Oh, okay, like, chewed on it and stuff? Or just, like, actually, like, physically ate it?
I think she ate it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, well.
He messed with my girl.
Yeah.
My woman. And it's not okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's interesting to me is he made a movie, I don't remember what it's called, but it was about, specifically about a father, patriarch, sexually abusing his son and his sister. So it's like, how can you talk about those subjects and then perpetuate that? It's just tiring.
Yeah, and like, whether we like it or not, these directors are like very strong influencers and like, mm-hmm. contribute in large part to society and culture at large, and like when these things are perpetuated and like the people's behavior even outside of making the film still has like really lasting and like impression and huge impressionable impacts.
Exactly. I mean, it's disgusting that they themselves have done these things, but it's also disgusting that they're a public figure that are inspirational to people. I've had people tell me that Lars von Trier was an inspiration to them. And it's like, in this inspirational role, you're doing nothing. You're throwing it away.
Yeah. Another movie that comes to mind, actually, when you're talking about just like...
Garbage directors
is the director of Blue is the Warmest Color. I actually don't really know how to say his name because it's in French, because he's Tunisian. But Abdelatif Kishache... he directed Blue is the Warmest Color. First of all, I didn't realize that Blue is the Warmest Color, a film about a love story between two lesbian women, was directed by a straight man. That is something that seems a little bit like a problem to me. Anyway. And basically, like, what happens in the movie is that there's a lot of, like, graphic, like, sex scenes in the movie, one of which ends up being like 15 minutes long, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm like exaggerating in my mind, but I remember it being quite long. And allegedly he would make Léa Seydoux and Adele they had to like perform it over and over again, like unnecessarily so. And the movie ended up being over 2 hours long, so like I don't think it really contributed to the quality of the film. And the main stars, Léa and Adele, Léa said that she felt like she was being, like, exploited, and, like, she felt very uncomfortable doing these scenes, and yet he would kind of push them to do it, like, it was part of their job, but I just think that it was saturated in such a, like, it was just oversaturated, like, it was unnecessary, and it probably made them feel very, you know, demeaned and, like, used and objectified.
That's disgusting, and I hope that the director feels great shame.
Yeah, me as well. Me too. But yeah, like, the film industry is not always what it seems to be, not always glamour. There is gross men everywhere.
Just protect women and people that aren't male and people that aren't white. Just protect them.
Yeah, be good.
Oh. Anyway. Also, women directors, they're few and far between. We were trying to brainstorm our favorite ones, and they just don't get the recognition.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, the first one that we both thought of was Sofia Coppola, and we've concluded that she doesn't make good movies sometimes.
They're not good.
Well, I feel like it's a lot of style over substance, which is okay sometimes. Like, that's sometimes, like, a part of their filmography.
I've just never heard someone say, I really like this Sofia Coppola film, you should see it.
I think that, I don't know, I really liked Marie Antoinette, mostly because at that point in my life, I was really interested in the French Revolution. So it was very separate things. But, yeah, I don't know. I wish that there was more, just because it would be nice to see. I just also, like, yeah, we're saying, like, oh, it'd be nice to see more, but I think part of that is just supporting female directors. And, like, yeah, there's a part that it's like, oh, these men didn't just get to the top for no reason. Yes, there was a systemic, like, reason why they've been able to have more opportunities just based on the fact that we live in a cis, white, heteropatriarchy. Mm-hmm. But also, when women do produce content and, like, make films, I think it's on us to, like, support them and make people know that this is the kind of content that we want to see in the future and the kinds of, like, directors that we want to have more in the industry.
I feel like, though, I usually try to do that, of course, like, try to, like, seek out things, but I think it's, like, I'm so busy seeking out, like, actors and actresses, like, them getting roles, that it's almost like directors just fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. But they have so much power.
They have so much power.
Like, in the filmmaking process.
But it's just sad that even to find, like, films that, like, mainly star women and, like, mainly are about, like, their interactions and stuff, it's still male directors.
Mm. Yeah.
That's mainly where I'm coming. That's my defense for myself. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we all need to do better, I think.
Yeah, and everyone can work towards creating a more, like, just and equal society.
Yeah.
I guess that's the note we're going to end on.
Yeah, that's a lovely note.
Yeah, everyone can...
So watch more women directors.
Yeah, and watch more films produced by people of color and more stories that are surrounding individuals who are, you know, in marginalized groups.
Because there are so many good ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I feel like that's good.
That's a good note to leave. That's good. It's a good one to leave them on.
Perfect. All right. And this has been Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM.
See ya in the next 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.